American songwriter, we have the opportunity to talk to Maisie Peters over Zoom video. Maisie talks about growing up in Brighton and how she got into music. Brighton obviously is a big music town. She tells us, I didn't know this, but it's the only city in the UK that busking is legal. You can do without a license. You can just show up somewhere, set up and play. And she did that at age 14, 15. She's doing this. She talks about taking her neighbor across the street's guitar because she really wasn't playing. And she's like, oh, you know, I want to learn. So she's kind of teaching her. Now she lives with her. She owes her a guitar at some point in life. She talks about that. She tells us about being in her first band very young and doing cover songs and playing bars and different little gigs around town to starting her solo career, starting her YouTube channel, which really grabbed the attention of her manager, who then started putting her in writing sessions. She signs to Atlantic Records, which is massive. She talks about her first two EPs and her most recent song, Maybe Don't. You can watch the interview with Maisie Peters and myself on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Maisie Peters. Our podcast is about you and your journey in music and how you got to where you are today.
Great. More me. Love me. So great.
It's all about you. Exactly.
Love me, baby.
Very cool. Why don't you first start off by telling us where you were born and raised?
Absolutely. I was born and raised in roundabouts, small town or small city in England called Brighton, which is on the sea. And then I was basically grew up in like a tiny village in the countryside near Brighton.
Oh, very cool. Brighton has there's a music college there, right?
Yeah, there's a music college. There's a music festival called The Great Escape, which is like where lots of upcoming artists come to. It's an amazing city. It's actually the only city in the UK where you can busk without a busking license. So I was a busker growing up, and really? I used to do that quite a lot as well. Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. That's cool. I didn't realize that they're the only city. So they really embrace music there.
So yeah, totally.
That's cool. That's really cool. So how did you get into music?
How did I get into music? I guess chiefly Taylor Swift.
Love that, Taylor Swift.
That would be up there. Love. Like, I'm the biggest Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah, same here. She's my favorite.
She's good. I could talk all day. But
I know, same here.
Yeah, I mean, let's actually do the podcast we're meant to do and not the Taylor Swift podcast that we could do one day. But no, it's my family on musical tour. My dad's a teacher and my mom was a journalist at the time. And yeah, I guess I just was, there was music a lot in the house growing up and I just loved writing. I was always like, I always was writing stories and poems and like really terrible self-involved diaries that you do when you're nine. And then I started writing songs really because of Taylor Swift. People like Taylor Swift and Sara Bareilles and Ingrid Michaelson, mm-hmm. All these artists just, I guess, really inspired me at the wise old age of 12. To write about all of my failed relationships that I'd had when I was 12.
12.
12. And it went from there.
That's amazing. What was the first instrument you picked up?
First instrument I picked up was guitar, maybe. I actually borrowed I have a friend from home who lived opposite me and I borrowed her guitar and then I accidentally broke it. But now we live together as adults.
So
the times she's like, you owe me a guitar. And I'm like, shh, I'll live. I know. I'm sorry. And one day I'll be super famous and I'll buy her like a really expensive guitar and it'll be fine.
So you borrowed her guitar. Did she play or she wasn't playing? So you're like, hey, can I try to test this out?
I think she played a little bit. She used to teach me, which she loves to now remind me all the time now that I'm the pop star. Sure. But no, she played a little bit, but I borrowed it for a while. And then I obviously just like fell in love with it and got my own for my birthday. And then, yeah, so it began.
Wow, very cool. Was that like your 12th birthday, 13th birthday that you got your own guitar?
Yeah, it was probably my 12th or my 13th. I can't remember. I should probably find out, but it was a young one. Maybe the 13th, that'd be nice.
Do you still have that guitar?
Yeah, definitely. It's at home somewhere. I haven't played it in a while.
Okay.
But I definitely do still have that guitar.
That's cool. And what about writing? You said you were writing at an early age. Did that all kind of come quickly after? Or what was the first thing you started doing with the guitar? Was it learning Taylor Swift covers?
No, I actually really distinctly remember the first thing I learned on guitar because it was to me, it was always about singing and playing. I was never been interested in shredding, not for me.
But shredding.
Just somehow not quite my vibe. She said her knitwear. But I really remember the first thing I learned was there was two songs. It was, and they're so random as well. For bear in mind, like, this 12-year-old girl from Brighton, UK, was Downtown by Lady Antebellum. Lady A is an agave.
Yeah.
And Breathe by Anne and Malik, because it was in a Grey's Anatomy episode where there's a bomb. It's very niche. But I remember being like, wow, these songs are amazing. So I learned both of them. And then I probably learned Love Story. And then I basically just play those songs ever since.
That is cool. And after you started learning those, how quickly were you busking? I mean, that seems like something you would do when you're older. I mean, were you doing that that early on?
Yeah, it's so funny. I feel like I really action packed my music career into my early years, because I had like I was in a band for a while. So I had the band era, had the busking era. I had the, like, I used to like go around all the local towns and play the open mics. Mm-hmm. And like all go to all the pubs and the working men's clubs and like play there. But this was all hilariously under the age of like 16. So I guess I was busking when I was like 15, 16. I did a couple years before that of just like, I was just writing every day. I wrote a song every day for like 3 years, and they were all about like imaginary things and me pretending to be Taylor Swift. But it, you know, I think it actually 100% like honed the craft, and like was so necessary, like so unbelievably important to me now, probably.
Sure. Wow. So you were writing songs, you said, for 3 years prior to busking. Like
yeah.
Wow. Like, so you started writing very early on. I mean, were you writing right away after you learned those few songs on guitar?
Yeah. I remember so vividly like playing guitar. And I also had this really like terrible, like shit kids piano and like kids keyboard even. Mm-hmm. And so, and I used to just write all the time. And I have a twin sister who's not musical at all, but I used to be obsessed. I was like, Ellen, we could be a family band. And I used to make her write songs with me. And she just didn't want to. And now I still say to her, I'm like, you could have had it, Ellen. You could have been there with me.
Yeah.
right. But I was just obsessed. And what's funny now, as I look back and I think I thought that it was normal and that everyone else was also writing songs every day. I didn't think I was going to do music or be famous or be a musician. I was from like a small town and I was at school and I just did it because I wanted to do it. And So I did that for all those years. And then when I was 16, I had a YouTube channel, which kind of like was the bridge between that phase of my life and like my manager and record deal and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So like prior to the YouTube channel, like you said, you were in a band, you had the band phase. Was that the first kind of experience you had, you know, performing, or was that after? Like, when did you start the band? Like, how old were you?
Well, that was the Fleetwood Mac phase, but much less sex, drugs, and rock and roll, because we were 14.
Of course.
That was when I was in year 9. So how old are you then? I think maybe 14. Uh-huh. And it was a friend of mine and these two guys, and we did just kind of like pop covers. But what was hilarious was that we weren't good, but we weren't bad. And we were also like 14, and we all like played all the instruments. So I guess it was kind of like novel. So we used to get booked to play things, because they were like, look at this band of fucking kids.
Right. Yeah. That's
Beyonce.
Like,
what's going on there?
Oh, you played Beyonce.
Oh God. It was a time. When I say I will take the name of this band to my grave, I mean it with, I say it with my whole chest. But then I did that for like a few years, which was me again, like learning how to make music with other people and how to, and we did shows like every weekend. And it was also like the dedication, you know, like the rehearsal and the turning up every week and compromising on things. And even like the logistics of making music, of like where and when and why. And yeah, I think that was also really important. But the band did not last. We had a big messy Fleetwood Mac breakup.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well,
unfortunate. I mean, these things happen.
Exactly. It worked out for you in the long run.
I know, I broke the band up, but that's a whole other one.
Oh, that's funny. I broke the band up. Well, with so after the band, the big breakup with the band, is that when you started busking? Like, are you still, obviously you had the, you know, the ambition to continue playing and playing live?
Yeah, I think it was around this. Yeah, it was around that time when the band broke up, and I had all of these songs that I'd written, just like hundreds, and I would sing them, and my mom would be like, you should do something with those. I don't know, like, she's not in music, she's never made music, but she was like, I think you should do something. So that's when I started busking, and when I started a YouTube channel, which was just basically my mom being like, yeah, I feel like you should put these somewhere. And I was like, yeah, maybe. So I, it's truly, so I started this YouTube channel, and then that was the era of, yeah, the busking and the getting my parents to drive me to random like beer festivals in the UK. I'd shit you not. And I'm like 5'1" as an adult. So imagine me like 4'7" as a teenager with like my little skirts and my guitar and my soft pop turning up to all these like grown men's, farmer men's beer festivals. But they loved it. They were like, they thought I was literally an angel sent from heaven. They're like, who is she?
How are you getting these shows? Like, you're just like, yeah, I'm 15. I would love to play your beer festival.
Yeah, I literally that. I, honestly, I could not tell you. I don't know. I can't remember anymore. I think I would get in touch with people. I get maybe my mom did as well. I honestly don't know. All I remember is just like turning up and being. And then once you're in the circuit, my friend,
the beer circuit.
You're there. Yeah. Once you're in the beer circuit, then you get hooked on the time.
You get the beer tour. Well, with busking, what that must have been pretty. Was that scary? Like, how was it the first time you did it? Did you just show up on a random street corner? You're like, all right, well, here's my guitar case. Let's do this.
Are you sensing a trend in like the chaos of my whole career? Just like me rocking up. Like, here I am. The busking. I can't believe I did that, and I would never now. Like, that sounds terrifying. But I think what I do remember from busking was that, number one, because again, I was like, I'm very small, I'm very unassuming, I look very young. So I figured pretty early on that, like, again, I wasn't like this crazy talented teenager, but I was good enough so that I would busk and people would be like, oh, she's good and she's 12. And I wasn't, I was like 16. But then people would give me money, I think, because they were like, oh, like a prodigy, where I wasn't. And I always used to busk outside children's libraries and play Disney covers so that the kids would dance and the parents would feel guilty and give me their money.
You had a business mind as
there
well.
There was an entrepreneur there, maybe. But I also remember, that was one thing I remember. And then the other thing was that busking, to me, the playing, when you start singing, it's so fine. It's just like singing in your room. You just kind of shut your eyes and you just sing your covers and your songs. It's kind of fun. You just like sing about for a couple hours. But the worst bit, and I still remember the awkward pain, was the setting up and the packing down. So are you, because everyone's staring at you and you look like an idiot and you've got your guitar, your little like street amp, and you just look like such a twat. So I remember like setting up, and then I would just go for hours because I didn't want to pack down. So I'd just be like, here's another one. Oh god. And my dad would sometimes come and keep an eye so that I was just on there.
Yeah, they're like, how did this girl get here?
Like, why is she here?
Well, okay, so the YouTube channel is kind of hand in hand with or around the same time as the busking.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did that lead to, you know, signing to Atlantic and you getting your career really off the ground?
What an excellent question. So I had a YouTube channel, which I just put original music on. And this was like 2016. So I guess maybe it wasn't as saturated as it is now. And yeah, I just kind of built up this really nice community. I had like 10,000 subscribers maybe, which to me was like the most people ever. Like,
no, that's huge.
It was insane. And I had kind of a lot of friends through YouTube as well, that I'm still really good friends with now. And we all sort of wrote original music and put it on YouTube, and that was like our thing. And then my manager now, just found one of my original songs on YouTube and just got in touch. And I was like 16 and I was doing my exams, and I was like, sorry, Bobby, I'm studying. Please don't talk to me. Hilarious. He still bullies me about that to this day. But he's amazing. Like, my manager is amazing. He's like the best manager anyone's ever had. And we started working together from when I was like 15, 16. Mm-hmm. And then other things happened, and now I am almost 21.
Wow. Well, what was that? Do you remember the song that he found?
Yes, I do. It was called Build a Boat. It's not up anymore. And a lot of my YouTube, I've kept like a lot of my YouTube songs up because I think it's nice and it's cool to see the journey. Mm-hmm. And I think especially nowadays, it's rarer to see, like, I don't know, maybe this isn't true. It's kind of rarer to see such a complete journey. And like, I've been making music and putting it out and being online since I was like 15. And I think that's cool. And I think it's cool to see like me as a 15-year-old, like making kind of bad music.
But it's
yeah, exactly, the progression. I like that. And I don't want to hide that or, you know,
Yeah, I love that. Because a lot of people, like, once they get a song or if they get a deal, it's like, all right, I'm going to pull everything that I've ever done prior to this because I don't want anybody to know that I wasn't good at one point. And it's like, nobody just wakes up and writes, you know, love story. Maybe Taylor Swift did.
But no, and I think, especially nowadays, you know, it's like, it's all about having the almost like the cleanest musical record of like, the smallest amount of things to get the biggest amount of thing, if that makes sense. And like all of my favorite artists, there's such a journey, and I love the, you know, I love the back catalog, and you love seeing it, and you don't look at it and think that's shit. You look at it and think, oh wow, that was what led to this. Like that thing became this thing.
Yeah, you can like see, like you said, like see the progression there. Like you could go back to find your earlier videos and go, okay, you know, this is where she was, and now, you know, Maisie's here, and now here and here, and now look at what she's doing, like crazy. Like, I think that's so rad as well. Well, so the manager, your manager Bobby finds you, and then what's like, he's like, okay, like, was that like weird? You're like, okay, this guy's reaching out to me, and like, you know, is this real? Like, how did that?
Oh, 100%. I was like, this is not real. You're scamming me. And then it transpired, he wasn't scamming me. So then essentially we started working together. He set me up with some sessions, some songwriting sessions. And that was kind of the first thing, just kind of testing the waters. I hadn't really done, I'd been co-written in the band, but not professionally. And I'd written on my own for such a long time. But yes, we set up these sessions and they just went really well. And I actually still work with basically everyone I worked with when I first started. Which, because I was just very lucky that I just happened to really click with people early on. But yeah, I kind of started doing these co-writing sessions and very quickly was like, oh, I think I'm good at this and I really enjoy this and I like writing on my own still, but I think this is really good for me. So then I just did more and more and more. And I just, I did sessions, but I was still at school. I did my exams up until I was, you know, until I was 18. So I would like go to London and stay on my manager's sofa for like a couple days and do all these sessions. And then I'd go home and go to my like, little village school, and they wouldn't notice. It was hilarious. Like I don't think they really had any concept that I wasn't there. I just rocked up and they're like, hey, guys.
Disappeared for a few days.
I said to my friends the other day, we were reminiscing about like high school is what you guys call it. And I was like, you know, I really enjoyed high school. And they were like, Maisie, you were never there. Like, you can't.
Well, maybe that's why I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, I was like, maybe that's why I had such a good time. So good.
That's so funny. Well, was that around the same time? Like, how did the Atlantic Records thing happen? Was it because you had some demos that like your manager was able to shop around for you, or how did that all happen?
Yeah, I guess I was still writing, probably doing the like writing circuit sessions for like a year or two, just working with more people. And then those people would talk to people they knew and be like, oh, you should work with this girl. You know, she's good. She's whatever. And then I started getting labels interested and publishers interested. And then I started a publishing deal with Universal in the UK, which was really cool. And they were really great. And then I think that kind of helped as well. And then, to be honest, I don't know, the UK music scene feels very small to me. Like, I really remember everyone I worked with then, I still work with now, and everyone I work with now is all very, knows everybody else. So there was lots of, like, phoning each other, being like, you should sign this girl, she's good. You should sign this girl, she's good. And everyone's friends. And then, yeah, I met a couple of labels, and I just, like, I just loved the ethos of Atlantic, I remember at the time, and the people there. And again, I've been lucky. I still work with everyone I signed to.
Wow.
Everyone's still there, bar one. And yeah, it's been like a real journey, definitely. I mean, a lot of life for not that much years, but I've been there since I was 17 and now I'm 21.
Almost 21. Wow. Well, that's amazing. And you put out Dress Too Nice for a Jacket, which is an amazing title in itself. So that was your like debut release with Atlantic. And how was that? Did you tour it and like, or like, was that, you know, tell me about releasing that first album.
Yes, that was my first EP and I did tour it. I played some support shows with it and I did a little tour around the UK. And yeah, that was amazing. I think I've never known what I'm doing really, but can you tell? but I think I've just always, I don't know what I'm doing in a larger sense, but I'm also very like one track minded, I think, when it comes to music. And I spend so much time on it and I write so much and I care so much that it was really cool with Dress Nicer Jacket. That was like the first time it was really focused on one thing. And then you get the final thing at the end and you're like, oh, fuck, like I've made a body of work here. Mm-hmm. And I'm still so proud of Dress Nicer Jacket and the second EP as well. I think they were both really good for someone that didn't know what she was doing and could have done something bad, because also at this point already I was signed and I was working with a million different people and there's so much room for uncertainty and voices just veering you off track. And I think I inadvertently, almost the better than I do these days, but like inadvertently like held really true to what I wanted to do and it came off.
Wow. And with that second EP, what would you say like the highlight of it was? I mean, you did a record and now you have to follow it up. They always said the sophomore album and all that. Was that kind of a worry for you or?
No, not really. I'm not really a dweller for good and bad. Like once I've done something, I've done it and I just move on and I do something else. So with this first EP, you know, it was done. And then I don't listen to my music once it's out. It's very like separate to me. Once it's out, I literally never listen again.
Just let unless go I play of live. It.
Yeah, it's gone. And it's so funny because I spent so much like mental exertion making it and then it's and then it's out and I literally never listen to it again. But with the second EP, again, it was a kind of, with both of the EPs, actually, it's not like I set out to make them. I was just writing. And then after a period of time, I was like, let's do an EP then. And let's collect it up. So I just collected up everything I was really proud of that I'd made. And it was it was very natural. It was like, oh, we should just do these six songs then. And everyone was like, yeah. I was like, okay, good.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing that it kind of was that easy. Like, yeah, these
never
are
again.
Six, yeah,
never
these
again.
Are six great ones. Let's do this. Was that when you did the U.S. headline tour? Was after that second record?
Yes.
How was that? That must have been really cool.
It was so fun. What a fucking amazing experience. Like, truly, especially looking back on it now. It was so fun. It was wild. Like, it was five of us driving across the country in a splitter van, putting on this like pretty ambitious show for five English people. and yeah, it was just insane. But like playing those shows, I still can so vividly picture like turning up at Nashville and there was like people were queuing to get in. And I was like, I actually had been to Nashville, but places like Toronto, you know, I've never been to Toronto ever. And there were these people queuing up and like, venues sold out and it was just just crazy. And I think I really only realized that like a year later, because at the time you're just kind of swept away with it all.
Right. Yeah, you're just showing up to places. Okay, where am I at now? Okay, let's just play the show. And then now it's like, whoa, I was in Toronto and I'd never been there and there's a sold out crowd of people waiting to see me perform. What a big moment.
Crazy.
Well, I want to talk to you now about your new song that you just released. And I love in the video, it's just the two of you. You know what I mean? It's like split screen. Yeah. Well, tell me how, well, actually real quick, where were you at when this coronavirus hit and how did that affect you? Like in your music career?
Music career on one hand was like pretty not ideal because I had a lot of tours booked. I was meant to be supporting Lauv across America and Niall Horan across the UK and Europe, which both would have been amazing. And I was meant to do my own tour.
Oh, obviously. That didn't happen.
None of those things happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sad one from Azzy. So they both got, everything got canceled as everyone's did. Everything got canceled.
Right.
And that sucked, obviously. And I went back home to my parents as everybody did and stared at the wall and was like, well, what was all those years for? Right. I am indeed back in my childhood bedroom. but it was also in a sort of like a mixed bag of blessings because meant I had way more time to write and to make this album that I'm putting out at the end of this, like second half of this year. And yeah, it meant that I spent ages writing on my own again, which was super good and really good for me specifically, because that's how I started. And it was amazing to like get back in touch with that and then carry that energy forward into making this album, because I think, I had way more time to write and to make this album finesse what I was doing. And I think that's made for an infinitely better album.
That's amazing. With Maybe Don't, was that written and recorded like during this whole quarantine?
It was actually right before. It was the last thing I did in London before I went home and never came back again. Back now, but back at the time. And that was JP. JP was playing a show in London, again, which was the last show I went to see. And I remember us talking about it and being like, oh, this doesn't feel great, the whole coronavirus thing, but maybe it'll be fine. Looks to camera, it was not fine. But yeah, that was like the last thing we did.
Oh, so he was able to jump on the song with you prior to all this happening? Or was that just a discussion you had? Oh, okay.
No, so we wrote it together in London, which was, again, really lucky, because obviously now that would be impossible. But it was back in the day when you could just be in someone else's city and be like, oh, I'm here. Do you want to do something?
Remember all that?
Remember that?
And then the video was shot down the line? Or was that all done?
Shot later.
Okay, tell me about the video. Like, was that a weird, like, okay, how are we going to figure out how to do this? Like, you know, everybody's inside, like, or was it fairly easy?
Well, I mean, I guess even in a normal world, JP lives in LA and I live in London. And so we would have probably never been able to shoot it together. And coronavirus has really just made everyone more creative, I guess, in a hilarious way, in being like, okay, well, what's a creative solution to this problem where we can't be together, but we want to make a really cool video? And the split screen thing just seemed really obvious immediately, and then kind of played around with the idea and ended up wanting to make this like imaginary world where we're combined, which was really fun, but really stressful, because there's lots of stuff in that video which is synchronized, but I shot mine first and then he shot his afterwards, and we couldn't really, also time zones meant you can't, it's not super easy to even talk in the times between the shooting, so it was a lot of like, please, I hope JP like just somehow knows what I wanted to know, and he did, because he's a genius. But yeah, it was definitely stressful, but it came off really well.
Wow. And then this record that you have coming out later this year, were these all songs that were now done during quarantine, and how, what about recording them? Looks like you're in some sort of a studio right now.
I am. I'm in studio. I'm actually working on album stuff, but yeah, a lot of it was done over summer of 2020. So yeah, that was definitely in the era of pandemic. Some stuff was done before. But yeah, like a good, at least half, if not more, was done since 2020. And I've done a lot, I did something for it like a week or two ago. So it's still very much, but I'm that person that will be adding songs to their album like 1 minute before the deadline.
Like, I just wrote this yesterday.
Yeah. Just for the spice, just for the chaos.
Right. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Maisie, for doing this. I really, really appreciate you. And of course, changing up the time and everything. That's amazing. Okay. Thank you. And I have one more question for you before I let you go. Yes. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Yes, I do. I would say, maybe it's overdone advice, but it can never be said enough, to just do the thing you want to do all the time. Like, if you want to be a songwriter, write a song every day. If you want to be a guitarist, play guitar every day. And do it even when you don't feel like it, and when you feel like what you're making isn't good, because it's probably not good, but if you do it enough, it will get good. And that's the literal only way you can get good.
Bring it backwards.